Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Welcome to our weekly show where we talk soccer in Atlanta, in Georgia, in the Southeast, in the United States, in the rest of the world. All of the above, that's what we do. It's AST, and it's 2025, and this is match week for Atlanta United. They have a preseason match on Saturday, just a few training sessions under their belt, but they'll be able to take some of that work out into a competitive match. It's not going to count for anything specific, but it will mean something to these players and this coaching staff, and I think that was pretty obvious today. The team trained up in Flowery Branch. They got to use the Atlanta Falcons indoor facility a little bit better than the frigid temperatures outside. It was a really intense, competitive session. The first word I typed in to my notes app as I was watching the session was competitiveness. And Ronnie Dyla used that in his media availability when he was asked about things. So I felt like I was on the right page. You're going to hear from Ronnie Dyla. You're going to hear from Ronald Hernandez. And you're going to hear from Jay Fortune, who spoke to the media. But we're going to start with the latest updates in more of the silly side of the preseason. The silly season. There are two players that Atlanta United is, at this point, strongly linked to, I believe the words poised to sign have been used in various reports on Emmanuel Latelath and our old friend Miguel Almiron. Almiron is the one with the latest update, and there is an update from earlier today. Maybe earlier this evening is the proper way to put it. This is out of Paraguay from Tigo Sports Paraguay, one of the leading sports outlets in Miguel Almiron's home country. Julio Samaniego, who is a journalist with Tigo Sports, said that Miguel Almiron's return to Atlanta United is almost complete. The contract length, according to Julio, would be 3 years plus one option that's activated by achieving objectives. The reporting out of Newcastle this morning was kind of along those lines without the contract length information that the team had a couple of days off after a disappointing loss on the weekend, and Almiron was basically on standby to jump on a plane and come across the Atlantic Ocean and finalize a deal with his former club in Atlanta United. So, look, it sounds like it is all but done with Miguel Almiron to make a return to Atlanta United. That number 10 shirt is open. Whew. Can you imagine how many of those jerseys are going to sell before opening day if this deal gets done? And it's sounding more and more like it's all but done. Emmanuel Latelath is a little more up in the air. The reporting late last week was pretty strong that things were moving in the right direction. He played over the weekend, had a goal. He played today for Middlesbrough in a win over West Brom and had an assist. Michael Carrick, his manager with Middlesbrough, has talked about his professionalism and what he's brought to the team. Even with these distractions, Middlesbrough would like to get a replacement probably nailed down before they let Latelath leave. Atlanta would like to get Emmanuel Latelath in as quickly as possible. That's the kind of dance that you're going through here of getting these deals done. Newcastle maybe not looking for the replacement quite as much with Almiron. So a little bit different situation in the two, but both sound close. Mickey sounds a whole lot closer. Doug Robertson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution asked Ronnie Dyla today about those maybe impending roster additions.
All the scouts are working hard on that. We are. Everybody knows that we want to bring in a couple of DPs. There's been a lot of rumors about names. I will not comment those names. Nothing is clear before it's clear. But we have several prospects that we can go for, and it's about availability. They will have to want to come, because I don't want players here if they don't want to play here. And they have to want to come here because they want to achieve something, not because they want to earn money. That is the second part. There has to be the right price, and there has to be the right type. So we have done some work, but still we haven't get over the finish line with anybody.
Sounds like it's getting pretty close to that finish line. That was Ronnie Dyla from Flowery Branch today at the Atlanta Falcons facility after training. I mentioned the competitiveness in this session. It was, I think, pretty noticeable. And look, that was by design as well. The coaching staff had a day set that was really going to push that side of things. You know, started with some fitness work, possession work, and a lot of that was focused on closing players down. It was something that Ronnie spoke to the media today about as well, not letting teams come through the middle, closing down the middle of the field, making them go to the outside. The session progressed from there to 2v2, to goals, to full-size goals, so a lot of goals, a lot of individual work, and then it finished with 6v6 players on the outside as bumpers. There were a number of standouts. I think Saba Lobjanidze looked like he was in pretty close to midseason form, had quite a few bangers. Bartosz Lisz, who is back in the group after, I think, getting either green card or visa work done, he was out there. He made a great block off the line, had a couple fist pumps on that one. Jaden Hibbert made a nice save in 1v1s. Jamal Tiare had a few goals as well. Matt Edwards, Ashton Gordon, Noah Cobb, I think for the homegrown side of things, looked pretty sharp. It was the competitiveness and the feistiness that jumped out to me straight away. I asked Ronald Hernandez about that, and here's what Ronald
you have
had
to
say.
To watch the last one yesterday. It's been like that. High standards. Everyone has felt the difference between the other seasons and this one. I think we are making a statement every day in terms of physical willingness to learn what the coach wants, and of course it's pre-season. We wish to be that, like that. We are making our foundation for the upcoming season, so no less than that we expect.
Is there anything about your experience playing in Norway that helped you connect with Ronnie a little bit?
Of course, because I know a little bit about their culture. I think I know how the way maybe he thinks, or what his environment has been when he grew up. So, of course, I feel a little bit confidence to talk about that. And for me, I can understand maybe the game he wants. Of course, you as a player, you want to review what the coach wants, what the coach work, and his biography in the past. And it makes it a little bit easier to build a relationship and, of course, work together.
It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I'm Jason Longshore. That was Ronald Hernandez from Flowery Branch today, speaking after Atlanta United's training session. The second question I followed up with asking him about his time playing in Norway and if it helps him have maybe a better understanding of Ronnie Dyla. A very interesting answer from Ronald about kind of understanding where he's coming from a little bit. But again, what jumps out to you is his initial reaction when I ask him about the competitiveness in the session. He's like, you should have seen yesterday. I like to hear that. One of the other threads from the media today was that maybe this is a little bit of a change from recent preseasons, where maybe there was more focus on building fitness and also really focusing on not wearing guys out, focusing on building for the long haul and not having that same level of intensity. That's a different approach with this group led by Ronnie Dyla. You're going to hear more from Ronnie in just a minute. I want you to hear a couple things from Jay Fortune. Let's start with, I ask him if anything had changed in what the coaching staff wants from him in that holding midfield position.
I'm sure there's nuances that are a little bit different. At the end of the day, help the team score goals and don't concede any. That's the basics of it. But, you know, there's the connection between me and or the two sixes, all the midfielders in general, really protecting the middle of the field is key. And, you know, that's the base for a lot of coaches out there. But, you know, that's the emphasis that we've had the last few days to make sure we protect the middle of the field, have the connection between us, other midfielders, the back line and whatnot. And I think that's been one of the main focuses that we've had so far to start the preseason.
With one comment about two sixes, with something else that Ronnie Dyla has talked about with preferring a line of four, I mean, I think you're looking at a 4-2-3-1, which wouldn't be a shock in terms of a base for Atlanta United. They're going to have the flexibility to be able to play a few different ways. But we'll get into this in the preseason, how that could look in that 4-2-3-1 with two sixes, two holding midfielders behind a number 10, and what that could do for this attack. Jay Fortune wants to be part of that attack in greater numbers. Here is Jay answering a question from our own Madison Cruz about his personal goals.
For me, the biggest thing is consistency. You know, you don't want to be somebody that has a good end of last year and then you come out this year and, you know, it's flat. I have faith in myself that, you know, I'm able to play at that level and be better than I was last year. And, you know, I have that trust from my family, my teammates and staff as well, which is great. But I think consistency is really key for me to provide the same thing that I was doing on the field last year and off the field. Being aggressive, wanting the ball, playing forward as much as possible. And I think next for me is goal contributions. That's one that I really want to attack this year. Obviously, it has to be in the flow of the game, playing the game properly and doing what the game calls for. But I think the way we like to play and the players that we have, I think it's really possible for me this year.
Last clip from Flowery Branch. I ask Ronnie Dyla about Saturday's preseason game in Chattanooga. It's the opener. You can listen to it on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app starting at 3:00 on Saturday. I ask Ronnie just about the importance of preseason games in his overall preparation.
Very important.
Here's what Ronnie Dyla had to say.
As I said to you, we can say we're training good and everything is fantastic, but this is the honeymoon as a coach. You know, the first 2-3 weeks, everything you do is fantastic. But then we get to know each other like a normal relationship, and then ups and downs will come. And then we're really going to know each other. And the games are giving all the answers, what you have done and what we need to work on. So now we get a chance on Saturday, next Saturday, and we have put an extra game also against Orlando into the. No, so we have 6 games instead of 5. So that's also good. So we have 4 MLS teams to play before we play the first game. So then everybody gets the opportunity to show themselves, and also we get also a lot of opportunity to see where we are tactically and physically, and also we get to see everybody a lot of minutes. So there's a lot of positive things with that.
Big thanks to Ronnie, Ronald, and Jay for speaking to the media today. As always, thanks to everybody at Atlanta United for putting this together, especially in Flowery Branch for us today. We'll be back out at training on Thursday. But up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, after the break, we're going to talk U.S. men's national team. We're going to talk U.S. women's national team, as both are active right now. The men play tomorrow against Costa Rica in Orlando. We'll be talking about all of that in 5 minutes on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. It's a very, very cold night in Atlanta and the surrounding regions, and honestly, all over the South. There's been close to a foot of snow in New Orleans, which is absolutely insane. It's kind of an anxious night on my end because I'm really looking forward to an opportunity tomorrow, but it's a little up in the air at the moment because of travel and how that's been disrupted with the roadways and such. I am headed to Orlando, Florida tomorrow to call my second U.S. soccer match. This is a really special one. It's for a very small audience. It's part of a trial that the U.S. Soccer Federation is doing, and Jacob Kaplan, who plays on the USCP men's national team and based here in Atlanta, he's been working on putting this together for quite a while. Myself and Madison Cruz will be headed to Orlando to call the U.S. Costa Rica men's match tomorrow in a little bit different way. It is called audio descriptive commentary, and it's for the visually impaired in the venue. So we will be calling it in a style that you guys would be familiar with if you've heard me call games on the radio and, you know, how we work. But there are elements of it that are very different, and it's very cool to be able to be part of something that's brand new for U.S. soccer and will help grow the game and grow that love of the game for a new part of the audience. So keep your fingers crossed that the flight's on time and the travel is comfortable to get to the airport tomorrow morning. I will be keeping my fingers crossed the rest of the evening and hoping that that gets done. So let's talk a little bit about the U.S. national teams. The men and the women are both doing camps right now. They're very different kind of camps. And look, some of that's probably down to the schedules that the clubs play for both of these teams. The men are, you know, a lot of their players that are in this camp are playing in Major League Soccer, so they would be starting preseason camp right now anyway. The women, their camp would not be going yet, and they are not playing games during this camp. We'll talk about Emma Hayes and her group a little bit here in a minute, but I want to talk about this men's group. They beat Venezuela 3-1 over the weekend, gave up a goal late. It would have been a 3-0 win. I thought Jack McGlynn, not just because he had a golazo, I thought he was the best player on the field in the match and showed really what he can do. I'm fascinated to see how some of these Philadelphia players look under Bradley Carnell. And I want to see if maybe he opens things up a little bit more. I don't know how much of his MO that is, but when you have a player like McGlynn who is great on the ball, I think you want to give him that opportunity a little bit more. Matko Miljevic is a little bit of a surprise in this. A lot of people did not even expect him to be called up. This is a player who I believe is banned from a local league in Montreal for playing under an alias and getting into some trouble. He played at Newell's last season. He got into some trouble in this game when him and McGlynn kind of got into it, wanting to take the penalty. Miljevic took the penalty and it didn't go very well, but look, he redeemed himself. I thought he was really, really strong in the match. Diego Luna is a player that I'm really looking forward to seeing more and more of as a number 10, a kind of throwback number 10. This is a big game against Costa Rica for both of these teams. It's a big game for these U.S. men's players to show what they can do in a game that matters. And look, like Ronnie Dyla talked about with the Atlanta United game in Chattanooga this weekend, you can do a lot of things in training. You can watch a player a lot of times, but when you see how they react in game situations, it's different. When you get to see that up close, as Mauricio Pochettino in this case, it's different. I want to see who really comes out of this camp. And look, it might be no one. The answer really could be no one. But I want to see who comes out of this camp and is seen differently at the end of it. McGlynn trending in that direction. Patrick Schulte, does he continue to trend in that direction? He's got a couple of caps under his belt. He's 23 years old. He could be the next one in line at goalkeeper for the U.S. to break through. Matt Freese of New York City, Zach Steffen of the Colorado Rapids are the other two goalkeepers in camp. We'll see if Steffen or Freese get this game tomorrow night. Backline, George Campbell, our old friend, played and started and played well against Venezuela. Had a couple of block shots in that one. Former Atlanta United homegrown. Max Arfston, a player that I will be interested to see at this kind of level. And can he continue to rise? I think Wilfred Nancy has done a great job with developing his game. His fellow crew teammate, DeJuan Jones. I think we know what to expect from Jones at this stage. 27 years old. He's got 8 caps under his belt. Really strong attacking two-way fullback. We've seen Tim Ream quite a bit with the national team. He was in this camp to bring a little bit of experience. Miles Robinson, our old friend, didn't play very well. At least didn't look very good on the goal that Venezuela scored, to be fair. Walker Zimmerman, part of this group as well. Another one I think we know what to expect by now. I talked about Luna before. Another young player that I want to see a little bit more of, just because I haven't had the chance to see him up close all that much, is Emeka Ineli, the RSL central midfielder. Played 38 games in all competitions for RSL this past season. He was voted the team's MVP by his fellow players. Played in college at Cornell. Had a great career there. Helped them get to the Sweet 16 for the first time in almost 30 years. 25 years old, maybe one of those guys that kind of flew under the radar. I want to see if Ineli can be a player who is seen differently at the end of all of this. Up top, I think another player who is being seen differently and should be is Patrick Adjiman. I feel like I've had this conversation for a while about Adjiman since seeing him with Crown Legacy when he came in after being drafted from Rhode Island. I've talked to our friend Jessica Charman about this quite a bit during her time calling Charlotte FC games. I don't get why he's even being held back at all at this point. Going into the postseason, I said he's got to start. I don't care what you're paying Karol Swiderski. Adjiman's got to start. 10 goals in 36 games in all competitions in 2024 for Charlotte. This is another kind of guy who went a different route. Maybe a late bloomer, maybe unscouted, maybe wasn't scouted properly. He started his college career in the D3 level at Eastern Connecticut State. 30 goals in 2 seasons, All-American honors. Moved up to Rhode Island, 19 goals in his final 2 seasons. And he just continues to get better and better. He's a handful. Like, just physically, he's going to cause teams problems. But what I've been so impressed with is I feel like his game adds layers every time I see him. I want to see more of him. I think he's one of those players that could absolutely play his way into the World Cup roster in 2026. Caden Clark talked about it a lot late in the season in MLS as he went to Montreal and had 4 goals, 2 assists in 10 games after a slow start to the year with Minnesota. 21 years old, it's kind of unfair to call him a late bloomer, but he came on really strong when he signed with the Red Bulls, then went to Germany and didn't do much of anything. Came back to Minnesota, didn't look good, and Montreal, it just clicked with him and Laurent Courtois and that group. He's one to continue to keep an eye on. Brian Gutierrez, another player from MLS that I've always been a big fan of with the Chicago Fire. Talked about Mihevich, just a fascinating player who has played with the U.S. youth national teams, has played with Argentina's youth national teams. He's a firecracker, and sometimes it's nice to have those kind of guys in your group. Another player with semi-local ties, Indiana Vasilev, part of this U.S. roster, originally from Savannah, started his youth career at South Georgia Tormenta, then went to the IMG Academy, went to Aston Villa, came back into MLS with Miami. Now he's really finding a good spot for himself in St. Louis, had 4 goals, 5 assists in 35 games last season. Let's talk a little bit about Costa Rica. Piojo Herrera, the Mexican, I think legend is a fair way to put it. these are his first moments with the Costa Rican national team, to the point that he was very clear in saying that his assistant, Paolo Wanchope, Costa Rican legend, really helped pick this group of players because he's still getting to know the whole group. Entirely players from the Costa Rican first division. I think you're going to see a team that will be wide open and attack-minded under Herrera, a team to definitely keep an eye on in terms of seeing a new generation come through. I think it's taken a little bit too long for that new generation to come through. Couple of guys to keep an eye on in this game. Alan Cruz, somebody that you'll remember from Cincinnati on the older side in this group at 28 years old. He's been outstanding since going back to Herediano. 6 goals in 6 playoff games to help Herediano win their 30th league championship. Another player that I've heard a lot about, another Herediano player, 19-year-old Andy Rojas, 30 goals in all competitions since the start of the Apertura, the second half of the season in Costa Rica, or the first half of the season, sorry, the second half of the calendar year, the first half of the season, the Apertura Clausura setup. 5 goals, 3 assists for Rojas. He is really seen as the next star from Costa Rica. Dribbler, takes on opponents, dynamic, really interesting player that I'm looking forward to seeing up close, barring any crazy travel difficulties that, you know, with frozen roads and things could actually be an issue for me as I try to get to Orlando tomorrow. I'll keep you posted. Make sure you're following me at Longshoe on the social media platforms, and I'll keep you posted on my travel exploits. Before we go to the break, let's talk a little bit about this U.S. Women's National Team camp. It's different because they're not playing any games. It's different because it's kind of 2 camps in 1. It's a national team camp plus a futures camp, which I really love the idea of that. It's an opportunity for Emma Hayes. They're in a different spot in the World Cup cycle. They don't have a World Cup to worry about until 2027, 2.5 years away. You've got some players who have left the national team program now for the U.S. It's a chance to look at a large group of players before starting to whittle it down. It's also a chance to look big picture with that futures camp at some players who might be able to jump into this group sooner rather than later. I love the idea. I think with the players that we've seen brought in, and one of them has quite a few have local ties, but one who jumps out to me is Jordan Dudley from Cambridge High School and now Florida State University. She's been outstanding at every level she's been at. Can she continue to elevate it and in this national team camp be able to shine right in front of Emma Hayes? I think she has the ability to jump the line and get into that attacking group with the first top group. It would be exciting to see. I think when you look at who Emma Hayes has brought in and kind of how we saw this team play since she took over in 2024, she's flexible. She's adaptable based on the players she has and the form that they're in. But I think you're seeing a team that will be attack-minded. I think it suits this pool. I think that this team is heavy in the attack side. So a lot of attackers in this group. I think you're starting to see not a blueprint, but maybe a framework is a better way to put it of what Emma Hayes is looking for with the U.S. Women's National Team and kind of what she's looking for in terms of creating and harnessing the overall pool of players in women's soccer in the United States. We're going to talk about one of them in the 3-4-3 coming up next, right after this break, our last segment of the evening on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
3 local stories, 4 headlines from around the world, and 3 things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, and now it's time for the 3-4-3, brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. It's 3 local stories you need to know about. It's 4 headlines from anywhere in the world, and it's 3 things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Let's start on the local side and mark your calendars for February 9th, a great event This is the fourth one that they have done, Inter Atlanta FC, their annual National Girls and Women in Sports Day celebration. It's from 4 to 6 p.m. Enjoy pickup games, a women's panel discussion, music, pizza. College players are going to be there. I know from Oglethorpe and I know from Georgia State. I'm not sure about others that would be included. Potentially Kennesaw State, potentially UGA, potentially Georgia Gwinnett, potentially Emory. Lots of women's programs all over the metro area. A great, great event. Mark it down. February 9th from 4 to 6 p.m. And make sure you're following IAFC_blues on your social media platforms for more information. Couple players, or one player that I mentioned in the last segment, number two on the local side, big congrats to Atlanta United Academy product George Campbell for making his senior U.S. men's national team debut on Saturday. I will always remember seeing Campbell for the first time in a Generation Adidas game at the training ground that I called for the stream, and I had not seen him play yet. Had not really heard much about him, and he blew me away at center back in that game. And afterwards, I went downstairs to talk to Tony Annan, who was in charge of the academy at the time. And I'm like, tell me about this guy, George Campbell. And he told me the story about how he had been a midfielder and they had injuries in the last event that the team had been part of, a tournament down in Mexico, and they threw him in at center back and he just took to it. And he's taken it all the way to the senior U.S. men's national team. It's just awesome to see a great guy, an incredibly hardworking player. I think there's a ton more in his game to continue to see develop and unlock. Big congrats to George Campbell for his first cap on Saturday. Another former Atlanta United player is number three on the 3-4-3, the first three in the 3-4-3, Cristiano Bruletti, central midfielder and number six. He has bounced around on the college side a little bit. He's from Michigan originally, came here to Atlanta to join the Atlanta United Academy. Really close to getting time with Atlanta United too, and the first team in training. Didn't quite get there. Ended up going to South Carolina. Went back home, closer to home, to Michigan State last season. He's transferring to the powerhouse Indiana University program for next season. And he's one to keep an eye on as a possible Atlanta United homegrown signing. Keep an eye on Cristiano Bruletti. All right, four headlines from around the world. Just a couple of the interesting ones from MLS to start us off with the first set of headlines. San Diego FC, they have signed Luca De La Torre on loan from Celta de Vigo in Spain. 26-year-old U.S. international, it's a loan for the 2025 season with a purchase option. Great central midfielder, 7 goals, 16 assists, and 115 pro appearances. He's played in England, he's played in the Netherlands, and he's played in Spain. Chicago with a big signing today, designated player Jonathan Bamba from Celta de Vigo. He's very interested in making deals with Major League Soccer clubs. 28 years old, around $2 million on the transfer fee. He's going to be a designated player alongside Hugo Kuipers. Bamba starred alongside Luis Araujo with Lille in Ligue 1, was part of that league-winning team in 2021. 3 out of 5 seasons with Lille where he had double-digit goal contributions. The two biggest outgoing moves lately have been Sebastian Drusy to River Plate from Austin for around $10 million and John Tolkien leaving the U.S. men's national team camp to finalize his deal, leaving the Red Bulls to go to Holstein Kiel in the Bundesliga. Number two on the worldwide headlines, let's talk UEFA Champions League and the games today and the games tomorrow, just kind of where everything stands. In Champions League, Liverpool, they became the first team to guarantee a place in the last 16 in this new format. They beat Lille 2-1 on Tuesday. Barcelona and Benfica, this game was absolute liquid insanity. 5-4 Barcelona wins. Barca was losing in Lisbon 4-2 with less than a quarter of an hour remaining. They got it to 4-4. Benfica goes down one way on the attack. Player goes down in the 18. They think they're going to get a penalty. It's not called. Barcelona goes the other way, and Rafinha scores a brilliant goal to give Barcelona the 5-4 win. Aston Villa, their hopes of automatic qualification for the round of 16, they took a knock after a 1-0 loss to Monaco. Borussia Dortmund lost 2-1 at Bologna, and their manager, Nuri Sahin, could be on the way out. Four straight losses to start 2025 in all competitions. Even with the win, Bologna is out of the competition. Other results knock them out. They can't finish in the top 24. Sturm Graz and Red Star Belgrade also out after losses on Tuesday. Atalanta beat Sturm Graz 5-0, strengthening their spot to automatically qualify for the round of 16. The top eight do that. They finish the evening in fourth place. PSV won 3-2 at Red Star. They had a red card just after halftime with a 3-0 lead and ended up getting to 3-2. Stuttgart, comfortable win for them, 3-1 on the road at Slovan Bratislava, who is already eliminated. They've lost all seven of their games. Club Brugge and Juventus drew 0-0. The big game tomorrow is PSG and Manchester City, and that Stuttgart win is important in this game because it really means that a draw wouldn't do either team any good in this. It's got to be a win for either one of these teams. If it's a draw, they both might get knocked out on the last day of this group stage here in a couple weeks. Your other games tomorrow in Champions League, Leipzig hosting Sporting Lisbon at 12:45, Shakhtar hosting Brest at 12:45, Real Madrid and Salzburg, that's at 3, along with PSG, Manchester City, Sparta Prague, Inter Milan, Arsenal and Dinamo Zagreb, Celtic hosting Young Boys, Feyenoord hosting Bayern Munich, and the Inter Girona. Oh, sorry, mixing them up. It's Sparta Prague hosting Inter. That's at 3 o'clock. All right, number three on the headlines, Naomi Girma mentioned a tease of her talking about the U.S. women's national team in the last segment. Chelsea's women have agreed to terms with the San Diego Wave, according to reports, for the transfer of Naomi Girma for a record $1.1 million fee. First women's player to earn a transfer fee of at least $1 million. 24 years old, Naomi Girma, and I agree pretty close with Emma Hayes here. I've said she's the best defender in the world right now. Emma Hayes said after the U.S. beat Germany in the Olympic semifinal this summer, she's the best defender I've ever seen, ever. She's up there. She's that good. She's going to Chelsea. It looks like Lyon in France wanted to sign her, also put a $1 million offer on the table. But it looks like it's Chelsea who are going to get Naomi Girma. One of the reasons Chelsea is so aggressive in trying to get Naomi Girma is they have been missing Kadisha Buchanan. The Canadian international suffered an ACL injury in November. Chelsea want to win the league. They want to win the Champions League. They have a ton of ambition, and they're going to spend to get Naomi Girma, the best defender in the world. It looks like, according to reports. Number four on the headlines, more according to reports, Neymar. According to those reports, he's not going to go to the Chicago Fire that had been talked about late last week. Looks like he's going to go to Santos in Brazil, where he started. What does he actually have left? He's 33 years old in February. Jorge Jesus was talking about this in Saudi Arabia recently. And look, Neymar's individual ability is not up for debate, even at this stage of his career. But his recent injury record is. It's a problem. He has not started a match since suffering an ACL injury in October of 2023. 733 competitive minutes in 23 months. He's a player that I think is treated unfairly, though. Yeah, part of it is a little bit of funny ha-ha, and I've done it. Neymar has been prone to falling down rather easily and rolling a few extra times to get a call. There's other players who've done that as well. I think we almost hold him to an unfair standard because he's been so good in long stretches in his career, like scary good. Like you see him do something and you just laugh because it's ridiculous. He's been that kind of a player. But he's also been a player who was amazing as part of the trio with Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez. He went to PSG to kind of be his own guy, and then Kylian Mbappe shows up. He stayed at PSG too long. Everything kind of got sour, not all his fault. I feel for him because I don't think he's treated fairly and seen fairly. He's one of the all-time greats. He always will be that, and I hope that he does get to ride off into the sunset with a happy end to his career. If that's at Santos, if that's at the World Cup in 2026, whatever that is, he deserves it. He's one of the all-time greats. All right, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much to wrap up this edition of AST. Hakeem Martin. You don't know Hakeem Martin yet, more than likely. He plays for Soda City FC in the UPSL. Had the chance to be on the call. I worked the sideline. First time I worked the sideline on a broadcast on Saturday. It was a lot of fun. It was a very different mindset. Jessica Charman and Madison Cruz were on the call for this game. It was a national quarterfinal between Soda City and current FC of Florida. And I didn't expect my first time working the sideline to involve so much blood. Yes, blood. Hakeem got a wayward elbow from a current player. 16th minute, if I remember correctly. It was on the other side of the field. I couldn't quite see the severity of it. I did see somebody after Hakeem was helped up and walked off the field after the trainer took a look at him. I did see somebody go back out on the field to grab something and pick it up and bring it back. Didn't think much of it as I'm trying to figure out what happened to Hakeem, if there was going to be a card, what was going on. Well, as I was between the two benches and I got a chance to see plenty of what was going on, it was Hakeem, one of Hakeem's front teeth that was knocked out. Completely clean with the elbow. And there was quite a bit of blood. And there were the trainer, I can almost quote him saying, this is not a tomorrow thing. This is a today thing of getting to an emergency dentist. You need to find one and you need to go and you need to get this taken care of. And I hope he did after the game. I don't know what happened. I haven't talked to him after the game yet, but he said, no, I want to play, and came back into the game and ended up scoring two goals in extra time to send Soda City back to the UPSL National Final Four. He was in some pain, too. He was hurting. I saw it in his face. What a performance from him, a player to watch. That's a fun team, Soda City, from Columbia, South Carolina. They're trying to do something that's never been done in the UPSL. They're trying to go back-to-back and win national championships. They're back to the Final Four after winning the last season in August. See if they can do it here in a couple of weeks out in California. Number two on things that make me smile about this game, reunions. I mentioned Neymar and Santos potentially getting done, and I mentioned in the first segment Miguel Almiron and Atlanta United potentially getting done. Sometimes you go back to the well too often. Sometimes it doesn't. It's the second time around isn't as good as the first. Sometimes it's even better. And sometimes it's a great conclusion to the story. Sometimes it's how you finish the story. Miguel Almiron coming back to Atlanta is something I did not have on my bingo card. I did not think it would be possible. I did not think it would happen. It looks like it just might. And it will be an incredible story if it does. Number three on things that make me smile about the game, preseason soccer. We get a game on Saturday, Atlanta United in Chattanooga. 3 o'clock, not going to have a pre and post. We will have a recorded post game for you on the Off the Woodwork podcast. Full-time report will be live from Chattanooga, or will be recorded from Chattanooga with all the post-game comments, all the highlights, all of that. But join us on 92.9 The Game starting at 3 o'clock. Mike Conte and I will be at Finley Stadium in Chattanooga for this one, and I cannot wait, especially after seeing this team so competitive today in training. AST will be back next Tuesday at 10 o'clock. We'll talk about that Chattanooga game. We'll look ahead to the game against Birmingham. Plenty of audio, plenty of Atlanta United stories, and you might just want to keep those notifications on because it's sounding like a homecoming could be in the works here very, very soon. Adios, everybody.